pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at the Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. Hour number three from the Alabama State House is now underway. Text line, I'll get to your text in the next segment, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, it's been a while, but he's been on before. State Senator Lance Bell joins us here. Senator, how are you?
Doing good. Wednesday in Montgomery. Can't be no better.
You're representing the Senate today. We usually get one senator, but next week I think we may do it upstairs.
And come on and join us. Come join us up there.
The script. That's a discussion. That got us in trouble a couple of years ago. Talk about, I like spending time in the Senate more than I do in the House. we won't go there. So talk a little bit about the session so far. It is fourth year quadrennium. I know this is your first go around with this, but it feels like a fourth year of a quadrennium.
It feels unusual to me because the first three, there was a lot of tension. This, it seems real relaxed. I know there's still some bills that are being drafted that have not dropped yet. And I know I was doing some edits on one last week, still working on, but it's kind of unusual. It's quiet.
It's quiet, and everybody is, you sense the, can we get this over with?
Exactly.
They didn't have that. The last two, fourth years, there's always been something that's, you know, kind of bubbled up. I say, like, you know, the end of the quadrennium last year, you had VCAP, you had the bathroom bill, a lot of things on the last day even, which was totally not what typically happens. But this is it, and, I think a lot of guys would like to maybe have something to show their constituents when they go back to their home district.
I think a lot of this one, and I hope it stays this way, but we've reached across the aisle and worked through some issues that would normally jump up. And after last session, the way it ended, it's, you know, we've got to learn to work together a little bit better. If not, we're not going to pass the bills. We had a lot of local bills left on the table that we didn't get to, and it's because it blew up. And what can we do to still get the bills we need to get through? But if there's a little tweak here or a little tweak there that's not diluting the bill and still accomplishes what we want, and we can handle that, sometimes that's better off taking a step back and working the bill a little bit better.
Well, it's still relatively early in the process, and we could still get to a place where you may have to.
It may blow up any day.
Yeah. But I watch those guys when I'm here, and I don't see it yet, but it happened early last year, and that really...
It was first week last year.
That was it on the session. I mean, it really killed you guys upstairs, and you had to do cloture for the first time in forever.
I think we did 3 days of cloture, and when that happens, the way the rules are, you don't get much done.
No, not at all. And then that was a frustration for some of the House members. Well, some bills here. I want to get to this one first. We're going to cut it in front of the line. And, like kind of an insight into the Portamobile that maybe a lot of us don't have down in our listening audience, and the way the cost of shipping freight and this cost associated with that. You tell me that you're part of the state, you're already seeing an impact. The Portamobile expansion and what you're doing there is it's showing some cost dividends.
It is. When you can have containers come into Mobile and be offloaded onto a truck and go up 65 and then end up in Pell City or end up in Talladega or even in Shelby County. And we have a lot of manufacturing facilities in my district, and talking to the people in those facilities where they were using Tampa, a lot of their stuff was coming into Tampa. Well, by the time you figure diesel and the cost of shipping those containers, they're seeing a big difference, and it's made a world of difference in our district when you're shipping containers. And there's a lot that comes in that people just don't realize until you start talking to these manufacturing facilities and what they're getting. And they're talking 8 or 9 containers a week. Well, you just think of the shipping cost difference from Tampa to Mobile and the difference in that. And that's a big savings to our companies.
And you have a lot of that in your district.
Correct.
Right?
We have a lot of that, and it really feeds the families of our district, and it is the economic development engine of our district. And Honda, just all the Honda suppliers that we have a ton of them, have Honda in my district, but also the suppliers that affects really several counties, and not just my district, but it touches in Senator Kelly's district. It touches in Senator Jones' district up in Etowah, Cherokee, up in there. So it really makes a savings for all of these companies that just supply Honda, supply Mercedes. We've got Mercedes suppliers in my district.
So they are, indeed, this is the important point, because this is why I was always skeptical of, that they're passing this cost savings along to the companies in your district.
Well, they are, but these companies are able to provide that cost savings and pass it through. If it's something, say you have Ford meter box that's in Pell City that gets a lot of containers, and they ship all over not only the United States but other countries. And so if their cost bringing it in is cheaper, then they're actually on that cost. When some companies, say New Orleans, if you go to New Orleans and look at manhole covers, some of those will say Ford meter box. Well, that's made in Pell City, Alabama, or Wabash, Indiana. That's the two places they are. And so they're able to compete with these other companies a little bit better for that job in New Orleans, or that job wherever. I know I was in Indianapolis last year or 2 years ago, and looked at a cover of something, and it was like Ford meter box. I thought, wow, that's in my district in Pell City, Alabama. And so it's making a world of difference and giving them the ability to compete with other companies because of just that savings.
Let's talk about some of the other things you got working on here. The Sheldon Committee, but with economic development, and that's always been a focus in this building and will continue to be a focus in the new building, I'm sure. But what do you have in the hopper here?
It's not as much as what's in the hopper is what we continue to do. And that goes through with the leadership, and it's quiet. But what Governor Ivey has accomplished quietly with commerce and what they've done is in bringing here and continue. There's some things in the hopper in the next. The problem is you're planning out next year, the next year, and the next year about what the recruiting you're doing. But we've got some good companies looking at Alabama, and we're competing against some other states. And I've been fortunate to be in some of those meetings, and if we can land one of three of those, that's a big deal to our state and the jobs that you're looking at. But also it's the type of jobs, it's the higher paying jobs. And when you look at what the median income is on some of those, it's incredible. And it all it does is continues to increase the better quality of life for our families here in Alabama.
So, I mean, you know, was this you're running for state Senate and you're running and you know, I kind of a vision of what you're going to do when you get to Montgomery. Economic development never, I mean,
I never dreamed I'd be the chair of FRED in the Senate. I never dreamed I'd be working on economic development, but it's actually been something I've really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed sitting across the table from a company and saying, why not Alabama? Tell me, why not Alabama? Your people come here, they will love it here. I can tell you a story. A gentleman told me that the company was transferring him to Alabama, and he went home and told his wife. And they were in Florida, and she knew where the company locations were and knew where his promotion, the possibilities, and she told him, anywhere but Alabama. And she just heard stories. They've been here 15 years now, I think, and he will tell you today, she said, we're never leaving Alabama. She loves it.
It's overcoming the stereotype, right?
It is. And I think the more we see these companies come here and the more they get in the communities, the easier it is for us to say, you know, we're not the past. We are the present. And if you locate here, we're going to give you a better workforce. We're going to give you a better quality of life. And we're going to be your quality of life is going to be cheaper, too. It's not going to be as expensive as living in these other countries. But you're going to be able to afford more, be able to do more, and enjoy life better. And your neighbor's going to greet you. Your neighbor's going to be a part of your family. It's
the culture.
This culture's different.
Yeah, it's you don't have the big city progressive problems here. I mean, some places maybe it's getting there, but the culture is what a lot of people don't understand, and they think. I lived in D.C. for 8 years. And you can tell me, like, how much I had to like. No, Alabama is not what you think it is, yeah, or what you say it is. Even.
I think that's transferred into the economic development, where you have regions now working together. I was at a dinner last night with One East. One East is the I-20 corridor with all those counties, and what they've come to recognize, if we all work as one and recruit as one, what's good in Anniston is good for St. Clair County. What's good in the, it's all the counties along that I-20 corridor are working together as one, and the vision has just increased. And I think Honda was a good reason to learn from that, and Mercedes coming here. It's all the suppliers that come off that. And Bass Pro was a good example, where you had other counties working together to land it here in the Leeds location. So I think that's helped showing what one big company coming here also increases the economic development in the other counties, and the impact it has is tremendous.
Well, I mean, with the growth of Atlanta and that proximity to Atlanta, that you could offer, just you're close enough to go right to a Falcons game or a Braves game or whatever, but you don't have to deal with the problems that Georgia may offer you or present you when you locate.
Exactly. You. Why not Alabama? Bring them on. Let's get some more here and keep going. But let's bring the right jobs here. Let's bring the right careers here, so that our quality of life can continue to increase.
I mean, more poultry processing plants or whatever, but like the more kind of upscale. Is that's the vision, right?
Is there an upscale poultry processing? Jeff, no, I'm just messing with.
There's not.
But, and then look at Huntsville. What Huntsville is doing, you're seeing a totally different life change in Huntsville with the FBI, with Space Force, with the jobs there. You have a young lady that graduates from Asheville High School in Asheville, Alabama, which is right outside my district, and then she moves. She goes up north and ends up being an assistant United States attorney up in New York, and somehow ends up working for a company at general counsel in New York that's in the aerospace industry, and then all of a sudden she's looking at, now they're looking at locating here in Alabama up in Huntsville because of what's happening there, and it's bringing her home. So hopefully, I've got a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. I would love them to go in a career path, and we have it where they can stay here in Alabama, stay close to mom and dad, and be a part of continuing to build Alabama.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. I know you got some other responsibilities here. Attempting to elude, and you got that bill.
We're still working on that. I guess the biggest risk as a citizen out here on the highway is someone that has committed a crime and they're running from the police. And right now, the penalties for that are not that much more than a slap on the hand. So I think what you'll see on this bill, I think final draft should be out this week, but it moves it to a Class D felony with enhancements. And those enhancements can be as much as a C or a B felony, but it also gives the judge discretion. If you're putting people's lives in danger, running from the police, then you need to go to jail. When you see the blue lights, that means pull over. You can dispute the ticket in court. It don't mean run from it. And the problem is you hurt innocent people when you run. And that's a major problem. So if you're on bond, if you're on an ankle monitor, if you have certain issues like that, there's enhancements in this bill that carries on those people. If you're on bond and you're running from the police, you know, why? Well, that means you've done something else.
Senator Orr and his bill with the Priceville situation, and you have that public safety threat, it's got to, I guess the two would work in concert, right? Because.
Well, you can't have it where the police are not allowed to chase.
But you can't have it where, I mean, well.
You got to have a policy, in this one, as long as you're abiding by the policies and procedures of your department, then. You'd be in good shape now, but you also got to think, what am I chasing them for? And is it just if it's a speeder, that's got to be an officer's discretion to a certain degree.
Really?
But if you've robbed a bank but a lot of these times you find out the officers have chased somebody, and until they basically got the spike strips out or was able to pit them or wreck them out or something happened, and then they find out they've committed a homicide or they've committed another crime. And until you caught them, you don't realize what crime they have that they've done. And you're just now getting to investigate that. There's been so many that talking to law enforcement that they've chased and then found out after they caught them what felony they have, you know, committed. And there's a way to, there's a reason they're running.
I know we're going a little long here, but when these high-speed pursuits, if you have a major interstate running through your municipality or your police jurisdiction or whatever, and these police departments, there's an incentive there to nab guys that are trafficking drugs through your, and that is what is causing perhaps some of these high-speed chases, because whatever the DOJ or somebody rewards your department when you do this, DEA or whatever, then, I mean, does that present a problem and maybe lead to some unnecessary risk-taking from some
agencies? Know that we have I-20 that runs through. We're getting a lot of people out of Atlanta, the Georgia area, that are coming over and committing crimes. And say they go into Walmart and just bust up a case and steal a bunch of stuff and take off. And then Pell City gets behind them, St. Clair County. Well, the radios, by the time the radios are working, you may have Oxford out there with spike strips trying to get them stopped. And then there's some, they've chased them right into Georgia and finally got the ability to wreck them. But they're convicted felons from Georgia coming over and stealing and committing crimes in our county. And those people have got to be stopped. And even on some, you know, the flock cameras out there are finding stolen cars, people in stolen vehicles, and people in stolen vehicles, then those vehicles have, you know, relationship back to a homicide investigation somewhere. We're seeing a lot of high-speed chases on I-20. A lot of that's coming out of Georgia, or it's Georgia citizens that are coming into Alabama, committing crimes, and then trying to get back. And they've been very successful at stopping a lot of those. And a lot of it is they've been able to pit them and get them stopped before they do hurt some innocent person.
Senator, we'll leave you there. I know you're very busy today, but thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right. Senator, State Senator Lance Bell there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Sid, this is where you get off.